Please welcome my husband, Tom Dill.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, thanks for being here with us this morning. I wanted to talk again a little bit about this little booklet called The Blood Covenant by E.W. Kenyon. And I hope you understand that when I talk about an author that isn't the author of this, I may not agree with everything that's in the book, in this little book. Now, this one, I got to agree with everything that's in this book, whether I like it or not, right? Well, sometimes, you know, sometimes we have to, I know David had it out with the Father sometimes. He said, I don't like this. But this this thinking about the covenant has made a change in my life that I'm very thankful for. And I just wanted to encourage you to take a peek at it. And he has another little booklet called Jesus the Healer, I believe. And he just approaches things right square on, and not wanting us to accept less than the redemption that's in our Lord Jesus. You know, many times we just, life throw things at us, and that's just kind of the way life is. And so we accept it. But Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome. He's made us to be overcomers, not acceptors. We can't just go through life accepting that, well, this is kind of the way it is. Because if we do, that's the way it will be. I want to read a statement here that he made. Two statements, actually. For years, I was convinced that there was something in the Lord's table that I did not understand. Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many unto the remission of sins. If we'd ever get to the point in our life that we believed that sin had been paid for, we'd live differently. We'd have different expectations. And we'd be taking the fight to the devil every moment of the day. But instead, sometimes we think that we are not worthy, or we are maybe this world is justified in treating us poorly. But my Bible says that I'm a son of the King, and I'm supposed to reign in life, right? Romans 5:17, I'm supposed to reign in life. Those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus. And so in my life, I've tried to, and I don't go seeking out weaknesses in my life, but when they're brought to my attention, I know I need to recognize them, because he's enabling me to become victorious over it, right? He's bringing it to my attention so that, oh, maybe I need to change something. I don't know, change is a good word as long as it's spoken about someone else. I know that. We all like change when someone else is the one that needs to change. And don't like it so much when we are the ones that need to change. And I've shared this before. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 8. I think it's 9, but I'm not sure if it's 8, 9, or 8, 7. But it says, but we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I was reading this in preparation for teaching, and this is years ago. And I'm in the back seat of the car, I think. My wife's, this is what usually happens. When I'm going to teach, she drives, and I'm just looking up stuff, you know, trying to get comfortable in what I'm going to share. And I started to read this verse, where we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I had to stop, and I said, no, I don't. I had to get real honest with myself. And that changed me. And I am starting to see the gospel of grace in ways that I have never seen it. I can read in Corinthians where Paul was complaining to the Lord. Three times he said, I besought the Lord three times, he take this thorn from me. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. And, you know, many times in my life, I'm learning that I need to be receiving like Paul received. His grace is sufficient. It's sufficient all the time. And I really didn't understand anything about grace. I knew how to spell it. I mean, that's really about it, because I thought it was something that was just around that would fall on you haphazardly, maybe, if you were good enough. It allowed me to live today, even though I'm not worthy, through any situation. Mercy and grace are different things. And we should be praying for mercy. His mercy is everlasting, right? It's withholding of merited judgment. That's what mercy is. And, you know, we merit not what we get, thankfully. Hallelujah. But many times I don't think we just quite understand the authority that we can have because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus. That's what John 1:17 says. Grace and truth came by Jesus. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus. So I get a little aggravated sometimes when I hear people say, yeah, I know it's grace, but. That's like saying it's Jesus, but. Really? I'm telling you. That's like saying it's Jesus, but. No, it ain't no Jesus, but. It's Jesus. Jesus is the answer to whatever situation, and so is grace and truth. Grace and truth came by him, and we need to get in agreement with our vocabulary. Now, let me tell you, when we keep putting grace at a level of less than, and make it an excuse for it, or making an excuse for our actions, then we don't really understand what grace is. And I'm finally starting to see this a little bit in my life. So when I hear people talk about greasy grace, or they're not talking about grace of my Lord Jesus, because there ain't nothing about the grace of my Lord Jesus that allows me to do less than the Word of God. His grace allows me to do the Word of God. Okay? Pardon? Yes. Grace is an empowerment, according to my wife there, which is true. Grace is an empowerment. See, the law demanded that they did this. That's the way it is. And that's our mindset. We kind of get in agreement with that, actually, because actually the people ask for the law because they want somebody, we want somebody to tell us what to do. One more line I want to read from this. He says, the blood covenant, or what we call the Lord's table. Now, up until I started reading this little booklet, I guess I wouldn't have called it the Lord's table. I did not correlate the two. I did not put them together. I did not see what all the Lord's table offered me. In Psalm 105, verse 37, I believe, it says, he brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not a feeble person among them. Hey, Taylor. Taylor's sitting in the back room. She's going to be aggravated. But I want her to read these. I want you to read some of the versions off your... And I would also encourage those out there. If you got a King James Bible, we're not anti-King James Bible. But find some other Bibles. And read the different versions to allow your heart to really maybe receive some of the fullness. I'm going to have her read whatever's on her phone.
Which ones?
All of them.
Oh, That's
fine. Oh, not all of them. Five of them. I'll give you five of them. Not four, not 55, five.
Okay. The first one is the NIV. He brought out Israel laden with silver and gold, and from among their tribes no one faltered.
Okay, he brought them forth with silver and gold. And you know the story? He had them go to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians gladly put their abundance on them to get them out of there. Gladly, they gave of what they had. Gladly. And he loaded them down with silver and gold. And there was not a what? No one faltered. The version she's reading. Go ahead. Where can you go and get a group of 6 million people and not be any weak people? Answer me that one. You can't even go to a place where you have 10. Right? Okay, next one.
New Living Translation. The Lord brought his people out of Egypt, loaded with silver and gold, and not one among the tribes of Israel even stumbled. English Standard Version. Then he brought out Israel with silver and gold, and there was none among his tribes who stumbled. New American Standard Bible. Then he brought them out with silver and gold, and among his tribes there was not one who stumbled.
Okay. I think you get the idea. He brought them forth heavy laden with abundance, heavy laden, and health to take care of that, right? Not just a bunch of sick people that were rich, but a bunch of rich people that were healthy. Amen. Now, yes, amen. What a gospel of prosperity we have been given. And we have to recognize that. We can't hold back. We can't be ashamed of the gospel that's been given to us. The gospel of abundance that's been given to us. So if he brought them forth with silver and gold, now what? How did that happen? What did they do before they came out of Egypt? What did he command them to do? Yeah, to do what? The pass? The what?
Passover.
The
pass.
Oh, so who's our Passover today?
Jesus.
And so the Passover back in the Old Testament, they were to slay a lamb, they were to eat the lamb, and then they would. He brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not a feeble person among them. How do you think that happened? Because of the Passover. The Passover. Back to this verse in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8, 9. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich for our sakes, he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. And do a word study on it. You think rich don't mean rich. Check it out, okay? If you think it means rich in spiritual blessings. Now, I will say this. If you think it means rich in spiritual blessings, receive that. Right? Yeah, just say, okay. Because the natural will follow the spiritual around. Okay? Okay. I'm just encouraging you here. There are those that want to say that this is just spiritual because they don't want you to think about the natural. They don't want you to receive the natural. They don't think abundance is part of the story. They think that lack, we all should be suffering for the Lord Jesus. To tell you, that is part of the religion today.
Yeah.
I'm just telling, it is part of the church. And we got to do battle against it. We got to wage war today. But the thing about waging war today is we're victorious through it all. Amen. It's different when you're standing on top, whooping up on those that are beneath you, than standing beneath and trying to whoop the one on top. We're on top. We fight the battle from above, not below. Would you go ahead and bring this stuff up, Jill? We're just going to take communion. Because communion is a remembrance of Jesus, our Passover. And I want you to have a mindset of not just health here, but of abundance. We need to change our thinking about why Jesus was beaten and died and bled and hung on the cross for us. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich for our sakes, he became poor, that we through his poverty might be what?
Rich.
Man, you got to be able to say that.
Rich.
Huh?
Rich.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I would also encourage you to say, I'll never be broke another day in my life. I'll never be sick another day in my life. Do you believe that that's a promise from the Lord Jesus? That kind of health is available today? Well, we got to get in agreement with it with our mouth. We got to say some stuff. Some of us are behind on saying stuff. Just apologize, and he'll catch you up real fast. Really? You don't have to fight to get ahead. Jesus paid the price. You don't have to fight to recoup your 5 years that you lost. People, you don't have to do that. He can put you on top now.
Hallelujah.
Yes. See, God and Jesus aren't real concerned about time. We get real concerned about time. See, when he heals a miracle and it's supernatural, it bypasses time, doesn't it? He has designed our bodies to heal themselves, right? But he can bypass time with a word.
Amen.
With a word. Amen. With a word. Amen. Be healed in Jesus' name. He can bypass time. If we get a mindset to think, this is doable stuff. I can receive this. So if you would like to partake of communion, and you can, you're welcome to come up. And if you can't, you want somebody to bring it to you, we can do that. We can handle that. But and how are we going to do the well, everybody always tries to figure out what they need to do with their trash. We'll come around with these, and okay? So don't get all stressed out about it. This is not a religious time, you know? When Jesus was having the communion with his disciples, he didn't say, go back in the closet and bring out the communion stuff. They dipped in the sop that they had, right? They just did what... So if you had a cracker... If you had a cracker and some juice, or if you had a cracker and some milk, or a cracker and some water, or brownie and Kool-Aid, you can take communion with whatever. The thing is that we remember what Jesus did for us. Amen. We remember what he did for us. And we remember it's just not health we're talking about here. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Thank you, George. Even as our soul prospers. He wishes above what? All things. All things. All things. And remember that when you come to the table, it's not about what you bring, it's about what Jesus brought.
Amen. That's
I used to come to the table wondering whether I could take it or not, or whether I should take it or not. Because, I did something this morning. I was a little short this morning with my wife. This is true. I really kind of was. I probably didn't say much to her, but in my actions, I was a little short. I've been pushed a lot the last few days trying to, I'm on a combine and stuff, and I'm trying to line up in my head, Brett wants to work today. I need to get the combine ready. I need to do this. I need to, the bin's got to be blown out, and it needs disinfected, and it needs insecticide in it, and it needs this and this. And I'm thinking, I'm trying to just, so my mind is going, So I'm kind of that way with her today. I don't say anything, but really my actions are kind of short. I apologize. So I can say, I'm not worthy to come to the table. And I'm not. But Jesus paid the price. Jesus is the sacrifice. You're not. He didn't ask you to sacrifice. He asked him. So we receive it in his name, right? We examine the sacrifice, not the one that's given it. Maybe sometime I'll tell you this guy's name, but we had an opportunity to share a little bit in Florida, and Lord impressed on me to do communion, and so we did it just right off the bat, and I did the example that I learned from Joseph Prince about the person that has the sin brings a sacrifice up, right? Like, for instance, like if I had Mike and Judy, Mike would be the one that's the sinner, and he'd bring up Judy as a sacrifice, right? I mean, that would only be natural, right? Right, right. And the high priest would examine the sacrifice, not Mike. Right? They would examine the sacrifice because it's all about the sacrifice. It's all about the sacrifice. And is that sacrifice good enough? Is it worthy? Is it worthy to take away my sins? I made the point a little earlier about forgiveness of sins. Listen, David said, it was quoted in Romans, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. What are we doing out here, people? What are we doing to each other and to ourselves? You know, I hear people talk about, well, Jesus ain't coming back till the church is this. Well, what is the church today in Jesus' eyes? The church is his bride. Oh, man, it's perfect in his eyes. It don't need cleaned up. Jesus cleaned the church up. Amen. We're part of the church. We've been cleaned up. So Jesus can come anytime. Amen. Amen. Jesus, come quickly. So if you want to partake in the communion, come on up, grab a wafer and some juice. If you're out there live streaming and you want to, yeah, you don't have to go get something special. If you're eating oatmeal and drinking your coffee.
There you go.
Amen. Yeah. Have you ever wondered why Jesus could sit down at the right hand of the Father? That used to bother me sometimes because I knew there's battle to be, fights out there to be won. And I would think about Jesus sitting at the Father's right hand, and I'm thinking, how can he be doing that? We're out here fighting our butts off, and he's sitting down at the Father's right hand. And this doesn't really mean that he's just sitting there, because we know he ever lives to make intercession for us, right? We know that. But he can rest at the Father's right hand because he knows that sin is no longer an issue. Isn't that amazing? He can rest today. Well, if you want to know whether or not you can go ahead and do this, take eat. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for providing a perfect sacrifice. And thanks again for your payment for sin. Jesus was instructed to sit down. The Father said, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And isn't that amazing that he requires us to take that kind of rest too, so that he can make our enemies our footstool? Psalm 23, if we could start in verse 1, I guess we can just read that whole verse, the whole book, I think. It's not that long. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's no lack in my life, right? I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Now listen, Pete. In life today, you need to be quoting this verse. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. He wants, if we want to prosper today, we have to have a restored soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sometimes we think about, we're doing all the stuff we're doing for ourselves. It's for him. For his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me, where? In the presence of mine enemies. Today, are we willing to go to the table and sit down and rest in the presence of our enemies, or do we think we have to whoop them all before we can sit down and rest? We've got to be able to come in his presence and sit down and rest amidst the stuff, amidst it all. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. A lot of us want the enemies defeated before we're willing to sit down. That's not the way it works, folks. We sit down and then the enemies are defeated. We rest in his finished work. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know, if I was writing a book, I'd have probably changed it. Really? Let's go eat after we're done with our day's work, right? That's how we live life, right? That's not how the Father has it designed for us. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy. What now?
Mercy.
Surely goodness and mercy shall what?
Follow me.
What?
Follow me.
Shall what? Yeah, we all claiming, oh, that's not my past. Just my past, my family's past isn't good, and it's following me around. That's not what this says. Oh, I have that because my family, my dad had that, my mom had that, and I got that. We can't talk that way. This is what he says. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and what? Mercy shall follow me. A few years ago, I don't know exactly how long ago it was, but Reverend Clapp had talked about praying for mercy. And I'll be honest with you, when he first started talking about it, I didn't quite understand. And I'm not saying I totally get it today, but I'm starting to understand a little bit more. We need to be praying for mercy. Praying for mercy. Because he just wants us to recognize him. He just wants us, he's a God that remembers. He really is. Yeah, there's some things that, maybe we'll get to it in a little bit. We'll see. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. So let's start claiming that goodness and mercy is following me about. Right?
Yes.
Not what I deserve, or not what... Yeah, no, we don't want to live like everybody else. And we sure, as the world, if we don't want to live like them, can't talk like them. In Acts chapter 14, verse 1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude both of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Now you get the picture? I mean, they were speaking truth, healing people. There was deliverance. And then some people started questioning it. I bet that's not true. I bet that's not really true healing. Show me some healing that's not true healing, huh, Mike? If it's healing, it's healing. We have, in our minds, rejected the Savior. And I know that's a strong word. But we need to recognize in areas of our life where we haven't let him be Lord. Right? Romans 10, 9 and 10. Well, why don't we just put it up there? You know, I used to fight him a lot on where to go sometimes because I started to tell you this story about the communion. I got it on to other things. So we're in Florida, and he says, do communion, and that's no issue. And then he says, talk about the sacrifice, the examination deal. And I'm thinking, I've done this 100 times. People are going to get tired of me doing this. Really, that's my thinking. That's what I'm thinking. And so I begrudgingly, doing a little example, I was probably even half-hearted, to be honest with you. I'm sorry about that, but it probably kind of was because I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. I'm thinking, I don't want to do this. I've done this before. They're going to get tired of me doing this. Well, I had Tanya call me a couple days ago, and she said, I got something I need to tell you. This gentleman that had come to the meeting when we took communion, and he finally saw, and these are my words, not maybe someday he can give his testimony, but when he finally saw the truth of communion, he was healed. He had some kind of disease. I don't know what kind of disease it was, but it had been affecting his body, and he would have these symptoms. And since taking communion, he hasn't had symptoms. And it was because he saw the sacrifice. What I didn't want to do. I mean, really, what I didn't want to do. I don't want to do this. I've done this, you know. And so, you know, when he asks you to say something, don't, you know, a lot of times teaching isn't presenting something new. If that's all you're about, is presenting some new story. I read Romans 10, 9, and 10 all the time. Now, used to, I'd say, I read that. No, I don't know if anybody ever does that. Well, I just read that. Yeah, well, whoop-dee. Maybe we ought to read it again. Maybe there's something new in it today. Right? You think the new word can be new and fresh to you every day? Yes. Amen. Yes. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, what area in your life haven't you let him be Lord? Just say, sorry. I'm going to let you be Lord now. I'm going to sit down here. I'm going to rest and watch you work. Because I'm tired of trying to do it myself. I haven't been able to do it myself. I can't get it done myself. I got to let somebody else handle this because I can't. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that saved is made whole. Made whole in every area of life. Not just being saved salvation, ticket to heaven. And a ticket to heaven is awesome. I mean, if we'd got nothing else but the ticket to heaven, it'd still be a good deal. Even if we had to live miserably down here. But we don't have to live miserably down here because eternal life starts now. When you receive Jesus as Lord, eternal life starts. It's awesome what we have available to us today. And we just got to start getting in agreement with it and speak about it with our mouth and not say, sometimes we just let circumstances get bigger than Jesus. I don't know, maybe you guys don't, but sometimes I do that. Sometimes I'll be busy doing something and it just gets bigger than Jesus. And is it really true that it's bigger than Jesus? No, but I've let it get bigger than Jesus. I've let it consume my thinking, my worry, my doubt. And then it's all about me and what I couldn't get done. Let's rest in the finished work of Jesus. I think we need to go to Corinthians. I think it's, and I don't even know what book. I think it's 2 Corinthians 12, I think. Bear with me a second here. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 12. And we're going to read some verses we don't normally read very much. And we're going to start in verse 1. And this is Paul writing. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. In other words, he was seeing lots of stuff. Paul was seeing lots of stuff. But he didn't want glory in him. Okay? Like he's somebody special. Verse 2. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. He said, I knew a man 14 years ago, got caught up to third heaven. Whether it's in body, out of body, I do not know. But he got caught up to the third heaven. This is awesome. He's just sharing some stuff with you to show you what had gotten revealed to him. And we're talking about a guy that he starts seeing this stuff, and you're thinking, you're riding high up on the cloud. Ain't nothing going to take you down, right? Well, that's kind of what he thought. Really? Really? I mean, this was Paul, and he's having some pretty good success, and he's thinking he's king, top of the world. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. And he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. He said, man, I've seen some awesome stuff. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Now he's trying to teach us something here. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that heareth of me. I mean, you've seen somebody that has a great testimony, and you're thinking, oh gosh, that's pretty awesome. I wish I was them. I wish I had that kind of testimony. I mean, he got caught up to heaven. I'd like to see that vision. I'd like to see the vision of heaven, and I'd like to hear unspeakable words which cannot be uttered on earth, right? I'd like to be in that place. Oh, that's pretty awesome. He must have everything together, right? Yeah. And lest I should be exalted above measure, verse 7. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Now put yourself in Paul's shoes. He says, I've seen heaven. I've seen paradise. I've seen it all. I've heard unspeakable words. Now why in the world can't I triumph over this? And he besought the Lord three times. He said, Jesus, help me out here. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, not the answer I want to hear. I want to see you slay it right now, right in front of my eyes, right? I want to see the manifestation of this victory now. And that's, isn't that how we live life so much? And yet he says, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. So next time you're waging a war and there's a battle, sit down and rest in his grace. His grace is sufficient. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, hallelujah. Then his strength ought to be made perfect in me, right? Well, unless we're declaring that we're all that, Jesus is the one that's all that. We're the weaker vessel, right? And as long as we recognize that, his strength is made obvious in us. His strength is made obvious in us. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. What does it say here? Glory in. I mean, it's plain English here. It's not a complicated thing. I'm not asking you a question that's really not hard to answer. Really, I will glory in my infirmities, in my weaknesses. You see, when we lay our weaknesses out there, then he can go to work. When we go in life and we don't have a weakness, we're in trouble. When we think that our weakness is non-existent or we fixed it, God's the fixer, not us, okay? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that actually means that he will pitch a tent over me. If I recognize my weaknesses and glory in my weaknesses, he'll come pitch a tent over me. He'll come and protect me. See, he wants to be our Savior. This is a promise, right? He wants to be our Savior. Save us from what? Yeah, mostly ourselves. You're right, Craig. Yeah. He wishes above all things that we prosper and be in health. Above all things. I do want to go to Psalm 111. There's a verse that talks to him where he said, I'm in 105. No wonder I can't see it. Okay. Let's just start in verse 1. Make it easy. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. You know, that's why we do the music that we did this morning. Right? So if you're uncomfortable with that, so was I at one time. Now I just kind of enjoy it, you know. I want to rest in it. I want to be free to receive. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. Verse 4, he hath made his wonderful works to what? He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. Need to meditate on some of these verses. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. See, today's work, and even back then, it required that there was a transfer of financial abundance out of the Egyptians' hand into the Israel, people of Israel's hands. That's still required today, still available today. Still, matter of fact, he wants to do that. He wants to move the wealth of this world into the hand of the church. But that church has refused it. Said, well, I've heard preachers say, well, God's a just God. Yeah, he is. He just wants to get it in your hands. He just wants to get it in your hands. Well, is it Proverbs 13:22? I think it's Proverbs 13:22. Here we go. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his what? His grandkids. Yeah, isn't that pretty awesome? You understand what kind of wealth you need to have to leave it to grandkids? Especially if you got any kind of family at all. You got to have some substance, or there's not enough to go around. Okay? Especially back in those days, man, everybody lived in the same house, right? They just took care of each other. And that's a whole other teaching, but anyway. An inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is what? Laid up for the just. Laid up for who?
Us
the just. Are you part of this? Are you, yeah? Are you someone he wants to get wealth into your hand, or are you someone who says, I don't know what I do? I don't know what I'd do. Well, you better start figuring out what you would do if you want it. Okay? Amen. He wants to overwhelm us with his goodness. It says he goes about throughout the earth to see who he can show himself strong on their behalf. He's seeking you out. He's trying to... Say, Michael, give me an opportunity to show myself strong on your behalf today. I want to bear my arm for you, Michael. I want to exalt you, Michael. And anybody else out there that wants to grab hold of that verse, he wants to exalt you today. Back to Psalm 111. Where did I stop? That he may give them the heritage of the heathen. Verse 7. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. Yeah, I'm sure there were some people back when he told Israel to go take from Egypt. You think there were anybody saying, I don't know if I want to do that or not. That's not right. Really? You think there might be some people thinking that? There's people that read the word today and think it wasn't right. They're saying that God wasn't right doing that. Where's your head? Was it okay? Is it okay with you if he does what he does? You know, I have to make that choice every day. Is it me or him? All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Let's start in Psalm 112. We're going to start in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Okay, you want to be part of that? Blessed is the man that does what? fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in his house. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. He wishes above all things that we prosper and be in health, right? I need to wrap this up. And his righteousness endureth forever. Verse 4, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. I think I just moved my mic, but we need to grab hold of this verse. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. And who is that light? Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light in the darkness. Jesus is the answer to our health. He's the answer to our prosperity. He desires above all things that we prosper and be in health. Let's grab a hold of his covenant. Let's be covenant-minded. Let's think covenant thoughts. He cannot let his covenant fall. He remembers his covenant forever. Forever. He remembers his covenant, and he cannot let it fall. How do you think David could send out all those soldiers in battle and everybody come back alive? Everybody. Everybody. They didn't fall. Covenant. How do you think David approached Goliath? You uncircumcised Philistine. He knew that Goliath was not of the covenant. He knew he could take him down because he was a covenant man. Are we covenant people? Are we covenant people? Let's go to the table recognizing our covenant with God and the Lord Jesus. Jesus is a mediator of a better covenant, a new covenant. I thought I was going to do three times, I think there's going to be another teaching with the covenant stuff. I can't get past it. And I thought three would do it, but three ain't going to do it. So whenever my next time is, we'll be talking about covenant again, unless I get instructed to teach about something else. But I sure appreciate your lives. I sure appreciate you being with us today. And I want to encourage you to think covenant thoughts, which will lead to covenant faith, which will lead to covenant provision. He wants to be a God that provides constantly in every area of our life. So, Lord, I thank you today for blessing your people. Thank you for encouraging them. Send a person today to speak to them. Speak to them words of life. There arises light in the darkness today, and his name is Jesus. We receive that. We thank you for him. We thank you for the salvation that's in the Lord Jesus. And we're not going to be ashamed of that. But we'll receive it today with thanksgiving. Thanks for teaching us more about being humble and meek to receive your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name, I give you thanks. Amen.
Christian Family Fellowship Ministry would like to thank you for listening to this recording of our Sunday service. If you would like to partner with us in your giving, you can go to www.cffm.org and use the Give tab, or you can use your cell phone and text to give at area code 937-502-2999. All donations to Christian Family Fellowship are tax deductible. If you'd like to receive free CDs of our weekly service, you can register on our webpage under the Contact Us tab. They are also available as a podcast on iTunes, or you can download them or listen to them on our webpage. Thank you for your generosity and support for the broad efforts of Christian Family Fellowship Ministry, as together we bring God's Word and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to our world.